Praise God. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word. Always a privilege, Father God. It's always a privilege to come and seek your word, Father God. I just know, Father God, that you are here with us always. Your Holy Spirit is here to guide us and lead us into all truth and understanding of who you are. Father, I thank you in the word where you said you weren't going to leave us. You left us a helper, a teacher, a mentor. And Father, we thank you. We count it a privilege that he is ever with us, ever beside us, and ever around us so that we can learn of him. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come into this place today. Let it be not said that man brought forth anything great today, but let it be said that God brought it forth. Let it be said that God brought it forth through a vessel that is submitted to him, Father. So I submit myself, and I hope these people submit their ears to hear and lend themselves and lend their spiritual man to hear the word of God, to bring about a positive influence in their life so they can make the correction and change and go in the direction that you want us to go in, each of us individually and corporately. Father, I thank you and praise you for your word ever with us, always with us. And we ask you today to be here and guide us into that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, I wanted to talk this morning. I'm a little unsettled, I got to be honest with you, because it's just changing like every 5 minutes. But we'll just go with what God starts, and if he goes off course, it'll be good, right? So Pastor asked me this morning to teach in the service. He's not feeling so well. He sounded really bad on the phone, by the way, so be praying for him. You know, it's one thing when you have a ministry where you talk, you better be able to talk, right? He couldn't hardly talk to me, so, right? He was not sounding so good. So be praying for Pastor that he'll get over the cold or whatever he's got. But this morning I really wanted to, and I think this is something that I've talked about before, but it's been a while. And I wanted to come out about it a little differently. I just feel that, you know, by his word, and Pastor and I have had many conversations over the last 6 months. We're definitely in, you know, ever ready and in transition, it seems like. And it's one of those seasons where it's just a transitional time frame. You know what I mean? Don't you feel that way, Sue and Pastor Cook? I mean, it just seems like we're definitely in a transition. And I hope that it's a good thing that we're in a transition, because transitions usually mean good things, right? Amen? So we believe that the transition, whatever it is that we're going through as a church, will become a positive thing for everyone in this church and every aspect of the community that we touch, right? I mean, don't we want to be an influence in our society, in our city, in our county, in our area? An influence with the Word of God. I believe God's given us a unique message. You know, not unique in the sense that it's something special, but unique in the sense that I think our pastor's really pressed in for the understanding of the Word over the last several years. And I think that it's getting clearer and clearer, and I think we see that in the messages. And every single time he teaches, every single time he brings it forth, it gets more clear. And more clear to him, and more clear to us as a body. Amen? And that's a good thing. I mean, just the understanding of what our body, our flesh, is. And the understanding that it really has no capacity to serve God, nor does it have the capacity to even do anything of benefit for God. That understanding, now we have to translate into what does that mean for us? What does that mean for me as an individual? What does that mean for me as a church? So, I mean, these things that we're learning more and more and more about, there's going to come a point where it's going to challenge us to do things differently than we did before. And I think at those times of transition or change, that's when we have to knuckle it up and just say, okay, God, what's my responsibility in this thing? Both to myself individually and to me corporately, to us corporately as a body. I want to say that I think this message definitely is for this church, but also I just believe that, you know, if we're going to get this thing out on TV, those that are watching by TV, it'll balance and help them in their local church. Amen? Because I want to talk about what is the purpose of a local church. What is the purpose of a local church? Why is it important that we have a local church? Why is it important that individuals connect to a local church? The number one reason we attach ourselves to a local church, the first and foremost thing we should have in our mindset when we get saved and we attach ourselves to a local community or a local body, is for spiritual growth. For spiritual growth. Let me say that again. The number one thing you should have in your mind when you attach yourself to a local church or a local body should be for spiritual growth. Because that's what God wants us to be connected to. A place that we can grow spiritually. A place that will be challenged to change our way of thinking. We talked a little bit on Wednesday night about how we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice, right? I talked about that Wednesday night. I talked about how we have to give ourselves over to the Word of God. We have to present ourselves. That's our responsibility. We have to do that. We have to present ourselves. So when we connect ourselves into a local body, we need to present ourselves, not just to the local body, but to the anointing and the Word that's in the body. Right? It's not just about connecting ourselves to a local body just because it sounds good. I like the color of the walls. I like the color of the pews. I like the music. That's all good. That's wonderful. But if at the baseline of your commitment you don't have a place where you can grow spiritually, then you're missing out on something great. Doesn't mean that you can't work in that church, you can't help in that church, but there's going to come a point when if there's no capacity for the church leadership to lead you into spiritual growth, then you're going to come to a point where you're frustrated as an individual. And you're going to have to seek something else. Okay, seek something else on your own. And many people do that, right? Many people may be connected to a local church, and I'm not one that believes that, you know, pastors or leaders in churches are all-knowing, okay? I mean, God established His local church. He established authority in this earth so that we can have a focal point of somewhere we could submit to. But at the core of that submission, understand that just because someone's a pastor, called to be a pastor, or called to be a leader, doesn't mean they're all-knowing. They have weaknesses and areas in their life that aren't so good. I know I do, okay? So if I do, I know a lot of others do. Because I'm just a human being like them, and they're human beings like me. Okay? Pastors know he's got great things, but he also has weaknesses in his life. Things that are not so great. Okay? We all do, right? Just because I've got called as a pastor, I'm a leader now, doesn't mean that I come arriving with all the goods. Okay? I'm ever growing and ever increasing in my faith and understanding of God's Word just like you are. Okay? But the leadership does have more responsibility. And that's when Pastor talks about how he gets frustrated when he hears about pastors that aren't even praying. That's their primary responsibility. Because if your primary responsibility as a pastor or a leader of a church is spiritual development or spiritual growth, which is, you know, let's just clear it up. That's what Pastor believes. Okay? Is that not fair to say? I mean, you guys have been here long enough, right? Pastor believes that his primary responsibility to this body is for delivering the Word of God for your spiritual growth. I believe that's true. I believe that's a good vision. I believe that's why I've committed myself to submit to Him. Because I think there's value in someone that thinks that I need to grow spiritually so I can stand on my own two feet. Okay? We should never mistake a vision for spiritual development with some other kind of vision. There's other visions that happen. We have visions to build things. We have visions to grow things. We have visions to do things. But at the core foundation of the strength of those visions should be our vision to grow spiritually, to develop ourselves as individuals to carry on what God wants us to carry on. We can't make excuses. We can't make excuses for why we're not growing spiritually. That's at the core of what our responsibility is as individuals and corporately as a body. Now, does that mean we're all growing spiritually all the time? No. Does that mean just because we know the Word of God, we're always doing the Word of God? No. Okay? We could be the smartest people in the world and not doing. Okay? And we should be challenged that just because we're smart, just because we know, that's not going to be enough. We have to use what God's given us. We have to apply it to our lives and let it change our direction and change our focus in what we do every single day. So the church, number one priority should be for spiritual growth. Now I want to talk for a second about the difference between natural leadership and spiritual leadership. Because there is a difference. Just as if there's a difference between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven. Do you know there's a difference between the kingdom of this world? What's reigning around this cosmos, this earth system? This earth system's broke. It's broke bad. Okay? There is a difference between natural leadership and spiritual leadership. I'm going to term spiritual leadership as leadership that comes from heaven. Okay? Spiritual leadership, or leadership that comes from the heavenly realms. Okay, there's a difference between those two types of leadership. You can be very good in natural leadership, and that can help you to apply in this earth system. But if you are lacking spiritual ability to lead, then you cannot effectively pastor a church. You cannot effectively pastor a church. How can you effectively pastor someone in the first priority of something when you aren't there yourself? Okay? And again, I'm not saying that there aren't great leaders that have both capacity, natural and spiritual. Thank God there are, and there's many men of God that are doing wonderful good things in the natural and spiritual. But if you have the natural and you don't have the spiritual, then you're just building a business, a corporate business, that's similar to what is in the world system. Okay? We can build a business, but that business won't be lasting eternally if we don't focus on what it is spiritually. We're a spiritual house, not just a natural house. If they take these buildings away and they collapse the walls, and they take the ground away, guess what? We still have a church. Why? Because we're the church. We're collectively connected to together, and we form the church. These walls, these buildings, these grounds, all they are is a place for us to come and gather together. But it doesn't mean that it's the church. It's not the church. The church is you. The church is me. And the church is our connection with each other. That's how we can be connected to a universal church. A church that encompasses beyond our walls, beyond our horizons, beyond our city, into other world, other countries and other parts of this country. We can be connected to them because we're not a natural church, we're a spiritual church. Jesus said, "Hey, I'm coming. And I'm coming to establish something different." And what freaked everybody out is that everybody thought he was coming to establish a kingdom in the earth. He didn't come to establish a kingdom in the earth. He came to establish a kingdom that's not of this earth. He came to establish a kingdom that's not of this world. That's why there was many that missed him. There was many that didn't comprehend what Jesus' goal was. They didn't understand what he was doing because he didn't come to establish a natural church or a natural kingdom or a natural state or a natural country or a natural anything. He came to establish a spiritual house in which many Jews and Gentiles would come together and they would gather together under one house. Thank God for that. So if we're a spiritual house as a church, if our primary focus is we're a spiritual house, then we have to have the goods to deliver to help people grow spiritually, don't we? Don't we have to have the goods to help people to grow spiritually? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. There's two primary ways the church teaches you spiritually. Two primary ways you can connect to the church and grow spiritually. One is to come and listen to services. That's one way. Just by coming to church, you'll grow. If you'll apply yourself to what you hear. I mean, that can help you. That alone will be good. The second major way that you can get involved or help in a local church for you to grow spiritually is to get involved. To get involved. To get connected. To get connected. And the third way, which is absolutely the most important way, but it doesn't involve the church as much as it involves you, the third way is to fellowship with Jesus Christ on your own. To fellowship with the Holy Ghost on your own. It's your personal relationship with God. Okay? So, once you make a decision to get saved, and you accept Jesus, and you connect yourself to a body, and you connect yourself to a body, you connect yourself into a local church, right there alone, that's going to do something for you, spiritually. Just that connection, that involvement. If it's a godly Christian church, it's going to help you. No matter where the pastor leadership is, it's going to help you. That's one way. And guess what? Every church I know teaches something. I don't know any church that doesn't teach anything. Okay? If you're going to a church or you know of a church that doesn't teach anything or help you understand or learn any way, shape, or form, then you probably aren't going to a church. I don't know what you're going to. A hangout. Okay? All right, you got to learn something, right? I mean, that's the two ways that you're going to get connected to the body and you're going to grow spiritually. You're going to get involved and you're going to get taught something by somebody that know something. Romans says, you know, how shall they hear if a preacher doesn't give us the word? Okay? How shall you hear if a preacher doesn't give it? We got to preach. We got to share. We got to connect. All those things are important. That's part of the body. But it cannot replace. It will not replace. It never will take you as far as your own personal relationship with God will do on a day-to-day basis. You're not going to get there if you don't get connected to God regularly by yourself. You can get so far, but that's about as far as you're going to go. You can just get so far. You've got to connect to Jesus personally yourself. Because we're not here creating a club in the natural. Okay? We're not here building a house that we can gather people into and just by you coming we somehow have succeeded. That's not the focus of the church, right? The focus of the church is to grow people spiritually. If they're going to grow spiritually, there's a point. There's a point in everybody's involvement in God where you have to get connected to Him personally to grow, to increase in faith yourself. You've got to make it happen on your own. Now, one of the things I want to say is that in these relationships we develop, in these connections we make, things will happen, right? So the second major thing that a church is valuable to a church and is important to a church is relationship commitment. You've got to be committed to a relationship. That's why God brought a focal point of a pastor, what the word calls a shepherd. Someone to kind of scope over, to protect, to keep a hold of. That's why a local church is established. Because it builds a focal point for God to help people to connect to who He is. If that local church is committed to you spiritually and for you to spiritually develop, that's great. That's what you should want to connect to. That's the most important thing that you should want. But the next thing to understand is that once you connect, you're committed. You don't just connect just willy-nilly. One of the problems we have in America is that too many people are disenfranchised with churches, you know, largely because church leaders make mistakes, right? But that's not only it. Church people make mistakes. You know, pastor could sit up here and preach the greatest message, and then people could walk out in the foyer and somebody could say something to somebody that doesn't even have anything to do with pastor, and all of a sudden they're offended and leaving. Okay? So I want to help you understand that in order to grow spiritually, we have to connect in relationship. We have to connect in relationship. Okay, so when we commit ourselves, we get connected to a local body, we get connected because we want to grow spiritually. But we need to commit to that relationship. We need to commit to that relationship. Because that focal point in the earth is going to help us to establish ourselves spiritually. It's the way that we connect to God, is by connecting to people. Okay? In our generation in the last probably 10 to 20 years especially, we're seeing more and more and more, both in the secular work and churches and everything, people just kind of willy-nilly moving around. Okay? Young people nowadays aren't as committed to their employers as they used to be. They're just not. It's just a fact. It's the way it is. We've grown up in a generation where they say now the average person is going to change jobs, I don't know, 10 to 15, 20 times before they even reach retirement. The days of somebody working for the same company all throughout their whole life is pretty much gone. It's almost not even non-existence. There's two things that get created in that mindset. One, it's a lack of commitment. Okay? Potential lack of commitment. The other thing that gets created is that we are always looking for the better thing. All right? It's the fast food, me, my generation. Okay, I'm sick of Taco Bell, so I'm going to go to Burger King. And there's one down every street and on every corner. We've got choices. If I don't like the manager of this Burger King, I'm going to go to the next Burger King. Right? We got options, right? I mean, how many of you guys have changed Starbucks because you don't like one over the other? Right? Am I speaking the truth here? Ted drinks all the coffee in the world. But that's a fact. That's the generation we're living in. Isn't that true? Is that true, Ted? That's the generation we're living in. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Except for the fact that if it gets into your spiritual connection to God, that's a bad thing. That can be a very detrimental thing. Because as soon as you don't like something, you're gone. You're history. Okay? We're seeing that both in not only in those types of relationships, but in the relationships of like marital relationships, right? Family relationships. If I don't like you, I'm gone. I don't care if you're family or not. All right? You're out of my life. Bye. I mean, nowadays, it's hard to even get families together in some cases. I mean, when you find the family that has a nucleus of a father and a parent, and that's it, and kids, and none of them are divorced, you've gotten some pretty cool thing going on. It's very rare. It is super, super rare. Almost every relationship in families in America has some kind of a other thing going on. I don't know what to say other than that. Okay, I'm not saying it's all bad, but you know, because it is what it is, you have to deal with it. But at the end of the day, it's not God's perfect will. God's perfect will is that we would have relationships and we'd be committed to those relationships. But we're living in a very selfish and me generation. Okay? I believe that God can rip that out of the church, though, if we allow Him to. I believe that God can establish some things in the people that come to that are connected to Him, that'll be contrary to the way the world thinks. And they'll be the best employees. They'll be the best family members. They'll be the salt of the earth. The preservers. We're seeing that more and more. Sometimes Christians aren't a great example, but there are many Christians that are good examples. Okay? Because the same attitude that's permeated society has permeated the church. You're not gonna ever have a group of people as large as Jesus' church and not have society influence in some way. It's just impossible. I don't care what size a group you get. At some point in time, there's going to be influence from the outside that comes in. Well, Jesus' church is no different. He has a problem with the influence the world has. He has a problem with it. He has a problem with the mindsets that get in that are contrary to His Word. He has a problem with that. And we have to be committed to make sure that we stay in fellowship with Him. And our commitment and fellowship to Him is co-equal with our commitment and fellowship to each other. That's what the Word says. Okay, go to 1 John. Let's look at it. 1 John chapter 4. This is a verse you guys, this church has heard a lot. First John chapter 4, verse 20. It says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Okay, you can't get no more bold than that. You can't get no more ruthless than that. If you say you love God and hate your brother, you're lying. Okay? Period. That's what the Word says. I'm just telling you what the Word says. If you say you love God, I love God, but I can't stand my sister. You're lying. Okay, what does it say? What does it say? See, next it says, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And let this be a revelation to you that if you cannot love your brother who's in front of you, if you can't find a way to accept them in a lovingly way, some way connecting in commitment to them, and that's the way I'll put it. Okay, because love, you know, we can say, you know, love, okay, I love him from a distance. I love him. I like how Pastor says this. That love is a commitment to enduring an everlasting relationship with them. Okay, you might have to love them from a distance right now, but you better have a goal set in your heart about that you want to love them closely soon. Because that's how God treats us, right? He doesn't just love us from a distance. He loves us from a distance and says, how can I work my way back into being able to be connected closely with that person? He's always drilling down to try to pull us back in relationship, not to push us away. See, pushing away is a worldly thing. Pulling in is a godly thing. God's love always pulls in. It's like a big vector, a big black hole. It's sucking all the time. It wants to pull you in. It doesn't push you away. God's love does not push you away. It pulls you in. Let that be set in your heart. And that is the same responsibility we have to each other. If my love for someone else, if my love for Pastor Ted is to push him away, that's not love. Okay? Well, you know what? I can't deal with him no more. He's just bothered me to the point where I can't connect. All right? Well, John, what have I done? I'm not talking to you. Talk to the hand, right? I mean, that's not godly love, is it? He's coming to me and saying, what have I done? I can say, well, okay, this is it. Da, 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 da. What do you have to say to that? I'm a loser. Okay, well, that's what I was trying to tell you. Let's high five and go down the road. All right. Loser. See, that's okay, though, because I can tell him that, and he can make a decision that, wow, you know, that John, he's not a very nice guy, but, you know, I, you know what? I'm connected. I'm committed to him. Because if he has the same love of God working on the inside of him as I do in me, we're pulling together. We're not pushing apart. Okay? We're not pushing apart. We're pulling together. So when we talk about a local church and we talk about relationship commitment, we have to be committed to enduring relationships, not fleeting ones. We have to be committed to enduring relationships, not fleeting ones. Even if you're leaving a church, you should leave with the mindset that I'm still connected to these people. Not with the mindset that, well, they're down there and I'm over here. And so many times in the body of Christ, people are hurt over what people say as they're leaving, as they're coming. Well, you know, I was over at that church and I've had to listen to this hundreds and thousands of times. I was over at this church and blah, 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 and nah, nah, nah. And I'm thinking, wow, those guys are just jerks. How could they do that to that person? But guess what? I didn't hear the other side of the story. Right? I have no clue what happened on the other side. I know people have left our church, Bias Word Christian Center, which is a great church. We love people. And they said some really nasty things. Well, that's not nice. Right? I mean, if I'm going to leave a church and go somewhere else and talk bad about them and put them down and tear them down, how is that building a relationship that's sucking them back into me? Right? How is that bridging the gap where, you know what, even though I can't attend there no more, even though I'm committed to being in relationship with these people, I'm going to find a way to go there once in a while just to stay connected to people because I don't want them to think wrong of my attitude or my position. See, there's just different mindsets we've got to get in. When you have a mindset like Jesus does that says, man, if you can't love your brother whom you can see, how can you love me whom you can't see? Because what builds in us is an attitude that permeates the church just like it permeates the world. It's an attitude of division and strife. And that attitude doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy. It comes from the seeds planted by the devil himself. Satan himself would love nothing more than to tear people apart and push people away. He loves to destroy lives and he loves to tear and rent things. It's his goal. It's what he's about. That's what he wants to do. Why? I don't know. He's weird. Okay? It doesn't seem normal to me. But he's not normal. Okay? And God is sitting on the throne. He's saying, I've established a spiritual house, a spiritual kingdom, and the principles that will hold it together are the principles of my word. That if you cannot find a way to draw that brother or sister that you have a problem with back into relationship, you have a problem directly with me. He personalizes it for me and for you. That if we can't get our hearts and minds right with relationships with other people, then we are not in an enduring relationship with Him. We're in a fleeting relationship, a moving away, a separation relationship. That's not good. Anytime you feel like you're moving away from God, you better do some checkup. Okay? You better try to figure it out. If you feel like you're moving away from God, figure it out. Because something's not right. God is ever moving towards you. If you feel further away from God than you did a week ago or 2 days ago or 3 years ago or 10 years ago, do a checkup on yourself. Because it's not a God issue, because His love is always pulling us in. It's not a God issue. It's not a God issue. It's not a God issue. It is not a God issue. It's a you issue. Period. It's not God's issue. Now, what about the other person? I don't know. They're not my problem. They're your problem. You're going to have to go to God and deal with it. Well, they hurt me. Well, you know what? A lot of people hurt me too. And the moment I go in my mind and I make an excuse and I create a box that says I'm justified in my concept of pushing them away and not pulling them in is the moment that I'm missing God. It's the moment I'm completely missing the heart of God. You cannot create those boxes. You cannot create those positions in your heart. You can't do it. If you choose to do it, you can go there, but you're in the same devices, in the same mode of thinking, in the same way that the world thinks. You're doing things the way the world does it. And you're not going to have success in that. You're not going to have success. Well, John, what do you do then? What do you do when people are always hurting you, stealing from you, taking from you? Well, I get, you know, lots of leadership things, and once in a while something comes across that's kind of good. All right? So read this one with me. When we are dealing with friends and family, we often want to help in the worst way. Sadly, we often choose the worst way to help. We protect others from their natural consequences of their actions. For example, we offer money when their money management skills are the problem. These enabling actions only ensure that their problems will continue. Helping in productive ways and holding others accountable to agreements is the best foundation for needed life changes. Having the courage to be a friend and not an accomplice is what we should be about. And I like that last. I mean, this is a secular, worldly concept. But sometimes the world has the right answer. And our mindsets have got to be in this. Have the courage. Have the fortitude. Have the mindset. Have the courage. That, you know, I like the word courage because courage instills in me a position of honor, a position of strength. That I've got, I have it in my mind. I see John Calloway with a battalion of troops behind him, and I see John Calloway having the courage to go forward when the enemy's right in his face. And the only thing that those other guys have in their mindset is that if he can do it, I can do it. And that's what leadership is, right? Leadership is not about position. It's not about a place. You know, John Calloway, Hector, you know, Pastor Ted, all these people are as much leaders as Pastor Jan is. They have the potential to influence people. The question is do you have the courage to be a leader? Or are you waiting and watching everybody else? So when that other person is hurting, or that other person, do we have the courage to reach out and somehow find a way? Do we have the courage to reach out in prayer? To stop gap what's going on in that person's life? It doesn't mean we can win every time, but we should always, always, ever be ever mindful of trying to reach out in a way to bring them in. Because that's the heart of God, right? Now, sometimes people just refuse to change. And I like the rest of the statement because we can't. When people refuse to change, when they refuse to recognize the error of their way, we should not empower their error. We should not give them room to make it worse. And that's what happens in a family situation. And what, you know, a local church is nothing but a big family. A big family of loosely connected friends that are sometimes a lot tighter. It's families, it's friends of families, it's all these connections, and that's a local church. It's all made up of that. All these connections. Right? When we're dealing with friends and family, we often want to help in the worst way. Sadly, we often choose the worst way to help. So how do we know the answer? Well, the answer starts from your heart. If your heart is to pull them into relationship, you'll find the right answer. If your heart is to have the courage to press in, to say, you know what, even though I can't stand them, I've got to find a way to love them. God help me. If that's your heart, then everything's going to be just fine. Because even if they're not, if that's not their heart, even if Pastor Ted has a bad heart for me, when I nail him on all those things, and I'm reaching back to him, he can still put a wall up and move away from me. And I'll just go, well, you know, God, okay. I stand here. I'm ready at this position to be in a relationship with Ted. It's up to him now. It's out of my hands. God, and that's when we begin to pray, right? That's what Paul was talking about in Corinthians when they kicked the guy out of the church, right? And then in 2 Corinthians where he said, you know, let the guy back in lest the worst thing should come upon us. Because obviously the guy had a heart change. Or he at least appeared to have a heart change. And Paul was saying, hey, let the dude in. Don't push him away because that's not even the heart of God. God's not pushing people away. He's drawing them in. Okay, he may not be in the same position or same place as what he was when he was here before, but draw him back in, heal his wounds, and let him become a part of connecting with the body of Christ again. Because anything else would be wrong. See, that's a heart change. It's a mind change that's different than the way the world is. The world will dismiss. The world will just say, you know, brush them off. I'll move on to another relationship that works for me. But we can't have that same attitude. We have to have an attitude that God wants us to have. The kind of attitude that spiritual people have. And that's an attitude of connecting. This is important in a local church, right? Because the local church is the focal point for that. Family and friends is our first line on this issue. That's why a divorce should never even be spoken of in the body of Christ. It just shouldn't be. However, I know things happen. It's like the illustration I gave with Ted, you know, as far as I can go, I'm not gonna empower my mate to do the things that they're doing. Like, let's say, for instance, I know circumstances where people have got into drugs. And they're married, right? You've got one person that's connected to God and serving the church and staying connected, and the other person that's off doing their own thing in drugs. Well, it's not love to continue to empower that deal and say, well, I've got to let him in my house, and I've got to let him, you know, destroy my kids, and I've got to let him, because other people are affected by that. Love in that case may be to say, you know what? It stops here. I'm not empowering your behavior anymore. You need to move away. And you separate from them. With the hope and always the always the mindset being, God, help them. Bring them back. Bring them back. Not back with the drug problem, but back healed, whole, like they used to be. Right? I like what the thing says. If a person has a money problem or they can't budget their money, what good is it for you? What good are you doing them to empower them by giving them more money? All you're doing is codifying the consequences of their behavior. You're codifying the consequences of the behavior. And only the God would know. Only God has the wisdom to know how to lead us in that. But I'm telling you right now, at the foundation of that perspective, at the foundation of that mindset, you've got to have an attitude that says, I want them in a relationship with me. Period. Your heart has to be grieved at the tearing away, the rending that's taking place, because anything less would be not of God, because His heart is grieved when people rent and tear themselves away from Him. But He also has the ability, God also has the ability to know the wisdom that is not going to empower people in their negative choices, in their negative life, so that they continue down a path of consequences that are going to take them on a spiral to death. We don't help people to codify a consequence. We have to find a way to know the wisdom of God on how to reach back to them. That's, you know, I don't have all the answers on that. I wish I did. You have to just have a right heart, and God will give you the way out. You have to have a right heart. It starts there. You have to have your heart right. I don't care if it's a family relationship, a friendship, a church relationship. You have to have the right heart. That's the foundation for you getting the wisdom of God. If your heart is not right, you can't get God's wisdom. If your heart is not right, you can't have God's wisdom. If your heart is right, you can. We have to be committed in relationships. A local church brings a focal point for our connection to the body of Christ. The local church brings a focal point for our connection to the body of Christ. There are many, many people that are out there hurt because of relationship problems. Let me tell you, you've got to change your heart. If you're one of those people that's looking for a church every 5 days because you can't handle the one you got, the issue's with you and not with the churches you're attending. The issue is with you, not the churches you're attending. Find a way to get your heart right. Get your heart right, and God will help you find the right church. It starts there. Get your heart right, God will repair the relationships. Get your heart right, and God will start to draw people back to you and not away. Because guess what? If I'm standing here in the same place, this is how I always see God when He leaves off with me, okay? I don't know if you guys see it like this, but I see it like this a lot of times. Here's God standing here, and here's me going the other direction. And I always see, this is in my mindset, I always see God standing in the same place. And I look back once in a while, I go, hey God, what's up? And I still go, hey God, a little bit further away. Keep going, right? But he's always there. And all I have to do is turn course 180 degrees in my heart and say, God, I really want this relationship with you. I really want it to be right. And as soon as I do, it's just like that illustration of Pastor Ted and me. As soon as Ted makes the decision to turn his heart towards me, I'm still here. And then it's like the father, right? The prodigal son. He didn't just stand there and wait. He ran to the son because the son was moving back to him. Right? So family relationships are important. Family relationships are important. The third thing that local churches has got to be about is developing leaders in the body. This is where it gets tough, right? So leadership in a church is about developing leaders. By His Word, Christian Center is dedicated to what? Training, stabilizing, and maturing the saints. And we've talked about this a lot of times, but I think sometimes we have to think about it. Okay? You have to have a mindset that I'm going to be submitted to be developed. You have to have a mindset that I'm going to be submitted to be developed. Because I guarantee you, if tomorrow I'm sitting in the pew and I'm coming to church for about 2 months and I just feel like I need to get connected and I make a decision, you know, I'm going to call the church and find out if I can sit down with somebody. And I called June. Hi, this is June. How's June? Blah, blah, blah. I'd like to meet with somebody. Oh, okay, Pastor Cook's got an available spot here. You can meet with him on Tuesday. All right? I'm like, oh, cool, Pastor Cook. I like him. He stands in the front. He prays. It's good. Okay, all right. Like that guy. Okay, so I come and sit down with Pastor Cook. Now, okay, Pastor Cook, I'm thinking about starting here at the church. And, oh, that's great. High five. It'll be awesome. You'll love it. Keep coming. Well, can I meet with you regularly and once in a while? Sure. That'd be great. Let's meet once a month. Okay? So I start meeting with Pastor Cook regularly. And I'm talking to him about my life and what my hopes are and what my dreams are and my family, how they're messed up and this and that. And okay? And at some point in time, Pastor Cook's going to look at me because he's committed to developing leaders. He's going to look at me and say, you've got to change your thinking. And then I have two choices. Well, what? This is new. High fives last time. What happened to the high five guy? You're kind of pricking at something I don't want you to prick at there, Pastor Cook. Right? Okay? But he's got a role. He's got a responsibility. It's his job before God to prick those areas sometimes. And if I have an attitude that says, well, as soon as he pricks something, I don't want to be pricked in my heart, I'm out of here. Pretty soon I'm walking around the church and I'm like, that Pastor Cook, I don't like that guy. He's not my kind of, no. I think I'm going to go meet with Pastor John. And then they hear a story about Pastor John, you know me. And then they go, I don't want to meet with that guy. Pastor Jan, that's the guy. I'm going to meet with him. Pastor Jan, high five, great, woo, I love you. So glad you're in my church. And then one day, right, one day, he's going to say something that just, you're like, what in the world is going on with these people? See, but if we're doing the first, if we're committed to spiritual growth, and if we're committed to relationship, when Pastor Cook comes and says something to me that I don't want to hear, that I need to hear, I'm going to hear it. I'm going to line it up to the Word of God, and I'm going to say, God, is this you speaking through him to me? And I'm going to make the change. Because that's what relationships do. If you want to have an effective relationship with people, you've got to be accountable to them. I don't care who they are, whether it's Pastor Cook and he's helping you in counseling, or it's somebody else. The other way that, you remember how I said that there's two ways you're going to get developed in the church. One is to come and listen in a church service. You know, Pastor Jan or myself or Pastor Cook or somebody else, Pastor Ted, anybody can speak something and they're going to prick you. You know, and you're like, oh. A lot of people leave at that point. They don't want any of that, right? I don't know. It's a little too much responsibility for me. I'm out of here. I want to go somewhere where they tell me if I think good thoughts, everything's going to be good. Right? No, I mean, the Holy Spirit's job is to prick you. Right? He's supposed to pick apart your heart. And he's supposed to change it into the way it's supposed to be. Okay, he's going to use people to do that sometimes. So the teaching will do that. And it isn't Pastor Jan picking on you. It isn't Pastor Cook picking on you. They're just doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's their job. It's their responsibility. It's their role. That's what we do in a local church. We teach. And that teaching is the Word. And if it's the Word, it's going to hurt. Because it hurts the flesh. The other way is you get involved. And this is the part a lot of people miss. And this is really, really, I can't emphasize enough. Getting involved is where you really, really grow. Because the moment you come over to Pastor Ted and you say, hey, I want to help in the youth, and Pastor Ted says, well, you know what? You have to fill out this application. And what's your background? What's up with you? Well, Pastor Cook pricked me. Pastor Jan pricked me. Now I go to him, and I just want to get involved in the youth. Okay, great. That's wonderful. What's your motive for it? What's you trying to do? What's the deal? What are you trying to accomplish? Well, you know, I don't just let anybody in my team. Well, why not? I just want to serve God, right? Well, I'm telling you right now that you can serve God. It's great. I want you to get involved, but what are you trying to accomplish? Because I got these little babies and I'm watching after them, right? And I don't want to just set anybody in. I don't just do it willy-nilly. So you got to prove to me. Well, you know what? Oh, you've only been here 3 months? You need to sit for a few more months. I need to see your consistent attendance at church. Right? Gosh, I just want to serve God. Let me do it. Okay, well, we're developing leaders, right? We're not just developing just anybody. We're developing leaders. Because I don't care if you're a janitor in this church and all you do is push a vacuum around all day and then you pray to God all day while you're doing it. You're still a leader because you're a person of influence. Anybody that knew Sylvester Knox knew that he was a person of influence in our body. Why? Because he had a heart to serve. He was a person of influence. He influenced me. We've talked about that many times, right? Those of you who don't know him, it was an amazing man of God who really just had a heart to serve. And he served everybody. He was served everybody. He just vacuumed and he did everything he wanted to do. Whatever, you know, you need that done. Okay, I'll do it. It's all good. It's just, it was his heart. He had a heart to serve. That was really where he was at. And it came through. In that heart, he wanted to serve. I'm telling you right now that his involvement helped him grow. His involvement in the church helped him grow. I don't know to what level he grew. That's not between me and him or anybody. I know that he was a leader and an influencer to me. If he influenced me, he influenced others. So we don't just let just anybody even vacuum the floors. Okay? I'm sorry. Because we're developing leaders. We're developing influencers. Now, if that's where you need to start and that's where you say, I want to grow, and you go talk to Pastor Cook and you say, I want to be humble, I want to serve, we're going to find an opportunity for you to serve and we're going to find something because we're into developing leaders. But I guarantee you, in that involvement, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. In that involvement, you're going to be challenged. This is one of the purposes of the church. If you're going to get involved, you're going to get challenged. We've got to do that. It's right. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And it's your job to also challenge others, including leadership. But do it in a way that you're committed to the relationship and not separated in a mindset that, well, I don't, you know, they didn't do it that way the last church I went at. I don't like you guys the way you do that. There's just attitudes that instill in us, and they're wrong. If our hearts aren't right, then we don't even have the foundation for spiritual growth, and we don't have the foundation to get an enduring relationship. We won't have the ability to develop as a leader. One thing builds upon another. That's why the focus of the church is those three things. Spiritual growth, first. Thank God we have a pastor that is committed to growing you spiritually. Because that's the foundation. We might as well not even start the others until we got that ironed out. I think we got it pretty good. I mean, we're working on it, right? Not perfect. We could do a better job of connecting as a body. I mean, anybody that's gone to Bias Word for a while, we can do a better job. We'll do a better job. Starting tomorrow. Do a better job, okay, will you? All right? But it's important we have the first, right? Because if we don't have that commitment, if we don't have that commitment for spiritual development, we're not going to be in good relationships. We will find strife and division and we will divide ourselves from each other. That isn't God's intended purpose for a church. And then ultimately what happens out of those two things is you will develop as a leader. You get involved, you're going to get challenged, you'll develop as a leader. A leader that can do great things, whether you're going to be a pastor, an evangelist, a server, a millionaire that's going to fund things, whatever you're going to do. It really doesn't matter what your plan is or what your purpose is in God. It all starts with those things. If your heart's not right, you can't fulfill the purposes of God in your life. Too many people are fulfilling the purposes of God in their life through the natural means. God wants us to start fulfilling the purposes of Him through spiritual means. Okay? Remember, this house, this church, is not a natural body. It's a spiritual body. Okay? If you knock the walls down, you tear the pews out, we still have a church. We'll always have a church. Because the church is connection. Connection to each other in relationships. If we have our minds and our hearts set on the right purposes and the right things in Christ, then we can truly do the things God wants us to do. I'm committed to it. I don't know about you, but I'm committed to it. I'm more committed than I've ever been. I get frustrated sometimes because I don't see things going the way I want them to go. I don't know about you. I vent on certain people because I get frustrated. I don't know about you. I do that. I don't know about you, but I do. I've talked to Pastor. I know he gets frustrated. And he's the leader, right? He gets frustrated in events. And ultimately, at the end of the day, what's going to build success for us is our commitment to each other. I'm committed. Okay? Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I'm committed. I hope you're committed. I hope that Pastor Ted's committed. I hope that Tammy's committed. I hope that Hector's committed. And Paula and Debbie and Cordella and Ray. She's committed to bringing cookies every Tuesday, which is a blessing. But it's a blessing, right? When we're committed. It's a blessing when Sylvester committed and got involved. It blessed the body. It blessed more than we can ever even think or imagine. Why? Because he just got committed and he got involved. Get committed and get involved. Okay, it's not going to happen perfectly. You know, somebody might not give you exactly the right direction for a couple years or so. Maybe even 10 or 12 or 15. I don't know. But be committed. Be committed in the relationship. Be committed. Stay committed in the relationship. Stay committed always in relationship. Be committed to your spiritual growth. Be committed to fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Be committed to those things that are the foundation for your success. Be committed. Be committed to the things that grow you up. Be committed to the things that build others up and doesn't tear them down. This is the problem with America. This is the problem with the church. Look, not enough people committed. This is the problem in marriages. This is the problem in relationships. All over this country, it's we're not committed. Be committed. Make a decision. I'm going to stand in commitment in relationship. I'm not going to go away. My heart is here. If nobody receives me for who I am, I'm still committed in this relationship. Be committed. And God will use that groundwork for your success despite where other people are at, even the church. Because guess what? Leadership isn't perfect. But if you're not committed in relationship, if you're not committed to Jesus, if you're not committed, you're not going to grow. And you're going to be a detriment to the body of Christ and not an asset. And there's plenty of those around. Let's not have our names be among them. Amen? Let's not have our names be among them. Let's make a decision to do the right thing and be committed. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the word. We thank you for this message, Father God. I thank you and praise you that we know our purpose as a church. Father, I thank you that you're making it clearer and clearer in all of us. You're making it clearer in all of us. Father God, how we can connect to the commitment that you've put before this body. Father, we want to see our effectiveness be greater in this community. Not because we're something special, but because we believe we had word that will help people. Not because we're something special, but we want to be more of an influence in a right way, Father. Not to make us puffed up or special, but to let our influence of the Word of God be the broadcasting beacon in the community. Father, I know that at the foundation of that influence is our commitment to You and our commitment to each other. Father, let it be that beacon of light that shines forth, Father. That no man could say that by His Word is a person, is a body that loves God but doesn't love their brother. Let no one ever give the testimony that we are a church that doesn't love unconditionally. Father, help us to broadcast an influential commitment to this community that we love them. That we love them where they're at. And that we're accepting them. And that we want to help them. Let us as a body be a body as a whole, as a group that goes out into our workplaces, in our communities. And let us be that influential beacon of light that says we love you. And we would love to see you be in a relationship with God. Father, help us. Help us to have the strategy to do that. Help us to have the integrity to do that. Help us to have the understanding of how to make it happen. Give Pastor Jan wisdom and constant counsel on what to do to lead our church. Father, I pray as a corporate body, I'm just the mouthpiece, but Father, we want to have clearer and conciser direction in our community. Father, we want to accomplish the things You put in our pastor's heart, which is to stand up on the housetop and raise our voice and shout the Word of God in our community. Father, allow us the opportunity to fulfill that and give us the wisdom to know how to do it. Father, I pray right now for this entire church body that You will give them the wisdom to know how they are a part of it. That if it's setting money aside, it's setting money aside. That if it's getting involved somewhere, it's getting involved somewhere. That if it's building something or doing something, Father God, put it in their hearts and have them touch bases with the people that are involved. Because we want to get involved in order to make a better influence in our community. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for this body. I thank You for these people. I thank You for the connections we have. Both close and close relationships and those that are a little bit more at a distance, Father God. But no matter what it is, Father God, draw us in closer together in our hearts so that we can do and accomplish the things You want us to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, for the wonderful things You're going to do in our body. Thank You, Father, for the great things You're going to do in our body. Thank You, Father, for the wonderful and great things You're going to do in our body. Thank You for the wonderful and great things You're going to accomplish with the people that are connected in this body. Father God, we don't know the Word in the way we do to just hold it in. Father, we want to get on the rooftops and shout it out. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You for allowing us and giving us the wisdom to know how to do it. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Father God. Praise You, Father God. I pray for every single person in this room that they will have strength in their bodies. That they will have finances coming their way. That they will have the things they need to do, Father God, to happen in their life to bring peace. That it'll begin to happen in Jesus' name. I pray for every person in this body right now. To the degree that I have any authority, Father God, I pray right now in Jesus' name. And I know because I'm praying in His name that it will be done. We believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Cook. You go.
Amen. Good word. Praise God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Is there anyone that happens to be here and you need to get born again? Ask that you would come forward and we have workers that will go with you and lead you to the Lord. Or you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues. That is also. here. If you need other kind of prayer, come forward. We'll have prayer with you. And the elders, the older ones here, will, in the Lord, will pray with you. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, this time we can gather again. We thank you for your anointing, your presence upon your people, upon your word, and upon our hearts to hear the word. And I pray that you'll strengthen each one, bless them, protect them, until we meet tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.